chapter 12. And I did choose that hymn for this morning service, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," especially thinking of that line, "The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth." And the Lord has given gifts. Ephesians says that He ascended up on high to give gifts to men, and He gave those gifts to His church that she may endure. We want to read of those gifts in Romans chapter 12. Let us hear the word of the Lord. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." Thus far in the reading of God's word, and let us look unto Him in prayer. O Lord our God, we ask of Thee that the words that we have read may be light and life unto our souls. We pray that we may grow thereby and serve Thee with zeal. We ask that Thou wouldst undertake for the preaching of Thy word, and that Thou wouldst unite our hearts in Thy truth as Thou hast revealed it unto us. We thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for Thy Spirit. We ask now for Thy help in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus, the church functions when each of its members use the gifts that God has given them to the benefit of one another and to the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me begin by saying that everyone that is a member of the congregation has a gift that is meant to be used to the edification of one another. In Corinth, we read a few weeks back, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with a list of spiritual gifts there as well. There they are called spirituals. The word gifts usually is in italics in our Bibles, to show that it's not in the original, just pneumaticon. They're just spirituals. And there they had a different problem than what they might have had in Rome. And there everybody wanted the significant or showy gifts. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues or be an interpreter. That really was the key gift that everybody was desiring and fighting over. And if they didn't have it, they thought they needed to somehow get it, acquire it. make it up if they had to. And it became a great source of division, or one of the causes of division. The source of division was that they each had different followers or men they were following at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. But they had great problems with how the gifts were developed in the church. Here in Romans chapter 12, we have a shorter list, but the emphasis is on serving and using what the Lord has given you as a gift. And maybe you've never thought about this before. Do you have a gift? And if so, what is it? What is your gift? When I was in college, actually not just when I was in college, but I guess it's an ongoing thing when you look on the internet. But when I was in college, they had spiritual gift inventories. And you'd go through little questionnaires and answer this or that, and at the end they'd say, well, these are your spiritual gifts. I remember when we first moved to Edmonton, we began to attend one church, and the pastor met with me and said, John, what do you think your spiritual gifts are? That was the first thing he wanted to know. How can we use you in the church? That's a good desire to know how someone can be used. But that was the emphasis. What is your gift? You have to identify it, and then you have to use it. And sometimes gifts are not all that identifiable. In fact, I might say that if you know what your gift is, it can lead to the being puffed up that was happening in Corinth. Well, I have this gift, they might say, one person. And so you need to be served by me. And then they're not a servant anymore. Then they're kind of elevating themselves and they're saying, well, you are going to gain the benefit of my gift. And that's not a gift at all. Remember the foundation of all this, not just the doctrinal issues that we want to keep before you from 1 Corinthians 1 through 11, but the main inference, if you believe those things, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. So you're giving all to the Lord. You're giving your life. Everything that you have belongs to the Lord. And this yieldedness, this desire of service, is the mark of the Lord's church, the Lord's people, that they want to give of themselves so that the church, Christ's testimony upon the earth, will prosper. And they want to do that in a way that is going to honor the Lord. So then we need this admonition that we're not going to be conformed to the world. We're not going to do the Lord's work in the world's way. We need to do the Lord's work in the Lord's way. Remember hearing about a man, a very prosperous businessman, who was on a number of boards. He was on some corporate boards and he was on some mission boards. And he told someone else once that sometimes he just had to stop in the middle of a meeting and remind himself what kind of a meeting he was at. Because a lot of the mission boards that he was on were just doing the Lord's work in the world's way, and it didn't really make a difference. It was just a different application. But the methods were borrowed from the world. That's not to say the world has nothing to teach us, but we always want to make sure, is this God's way? Or is it the world's way kind of pressed into God's mold? Are we doing this the Lord's way? That's a very crucial question for our church, as a congregation, individually, for your life. How can I best serve the Lord? How? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, knowing God's word, being aware. And, beloved, I was so encouraged as many of you began our Bible reading schedule. We want to read through the Bible in this year. On a Wednesday night, we showed the lesson, and then we had a few questions for discussion, and then they were all intermingled with questions that people had about what they've been reading in the Bible. It was new to them, or they hadn't thought about this before in a certain way. And we just had a wonderful time learning about God's Word and clarifying things that were not so very clear. It was wonderful. And that is part of the renewing of your mind, knowing God's Word, knowing His will, knowing His ways. The transforming of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Remember we said to think sober thoughts. The word think is in this verse 4 times. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And beloved, that's our great besetting sin of mankind. And it creeps into the church, the pride that we have and being puffed up. John Calvin says, for so blindly do we all rush in the direction of self-love that everyone thinks he has a good reason for exalting himself and despising all others in comparison. Many bear about with them some measure of mildness, so long as all things go smoothly and lovingly with them. But how few are there who, when stung and irritated, preserve the same tenor of moderation? For this, there is no other remedy than to pluck up by the roots those most noxious pests, self-love and love of victory. This the doctrine of Scripture does. For it teaches us to remember that the endowments which God has bestowed upon us are not our own, but His free gifts, and that those who plume themselves upon them betray their ingratitude. Who maketh thee to differ, saith Paul? And what hast thou done that thou didst not what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? It's a gift, beloved. It's a gift from God. And how foolish we look when we become puffed up about our gifts. And it's true, isn't it? All of us just are very peaceful. We can get along very well with one another. But where does the problem come? My problem comes when you challenge me. My problem comes when you say, I think you did that wrong. Oh, really? You know, you think so? Yeah, and look back on your life with grief at the times that you've lost your temper, exploded, and not dealt with things in a proper way, not by the Spirit of the Lord. Those are grievous remembrances and reminders that the Lord is the one who keeps us faithful. The Lord is the one who keeps us bound together. It's the Lord's grace that we are still even in existence because who makes you to differ from another? And remember, Paul told that to the Corinthians. You're talking about gifts? Yeah, who gave you those gifts? Who made you different? And sometimes there's a way in which we need to, help this doesn't sound worldly, but we need to celebrate our diversity. We need to understand that we're different for a reason, that we're not all alike in our emphases, in the way that we approach problems. It doesn't mean they're unbiblical. They might just be different. And that's why your spiritual eyes have to be open to discern whether it is biblical or just different. If it's biblical, it might just be a different way of doing things. And we ought to be open to that. We ought to be understanding of that and look at the heart of the matter. But if we can say this is unbiblical, it's contrary to the Word of God, we ought to also alert someone to that and say this is not the way God wants you to do these things. We need to be diligent in those things. I've been reading a book. I've got a couple of books on order about being introverted and how the Lord can use introverts too. Sometimes in Corinth, that was one of the problems, right? Everybody had to be the center of attention. Everybody had to be noticed, so to speak. But it's a very interesting book where he's saying God sometimes gifts people with quietness and with being withdrawn. it's good, actually it's good for most of us to spend time being somewhat withdrawn. Some people are just more like that. And we ought to consider that as part of their personality. It's not sinful. And some people are out front all the time and they're just happy and joyful and they just seem to be, give me something to do and I'll do it. They're just right there. Those are just differences. It doesn't mean one is wrong and the other one is not. It means that both of them have their own tendencies to sin, their own temptations, so to speak, or temptations, not so to speak, temptations. They have their own ways of Satan using those things. So, an introvert can become withdrawn to the point where you just want to be alone in your study with your books and just having a wonderful time there. But it can also lead to not doing what ought to be done. So there's a balance in there. We ought to recognize and appreciate what other people are able to do. Committee to set up this ordination service for Doug Lehman got my attention on Friday when I happened to talk to the clerk of our presbytery, Chris Lynch, and I asked him, I haven't heard from the committee. Is there anything that I'm supposed to be doing for the service? He said, no. Didn't you get the email? I said, no. You're not on the email list because you don't have anything to do for the service. But your elder has a part of the service. Wait a minute. The elder. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to get our elders involved in our presbytery. And we ought to be serving one another. Not be jealous of each other's abilities. We ought to, when somebody does something well, Paul does say, covet earnestly the better gifts or the greater gifts. We ought to say, I wish I could do that. There's a godly way in which you can say that. But when you're covetous, you say, I know he does that well, but really? You don't know the rest of the story. You don't know the big picture. And we want to pull that person down. But when you can genuinely say, that person serves Christ really well in the church in this way. He's gifted. He has the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He has the gift that God has given him to serve the brethren in the church. And you ought to be aware, maybe not so much of specifically what your gift is, so much as how are you serving? Are you looking for opportunities to serve? This morning as we started our Sunday school class, we had a little handout that we were singing, and two of our young men were almost fighting about who was going to hand those out. They wanted to serve. That's good. That's very good. To have that kind of fighting in the church, We pretty much want. So who's going to fight to shovel the walk if it snows some more during the service? We want to look for opportunities. Where can the Lord use you? This morning, where can the Lord use you in the life of this church? We're beginning a new year, and where can the Lord use you to serve His saints in this coming year? I think this is a good way to start our year. How can you be used of the Lord? How is He going to use you as He comes to this coming year? So everybody has something a little bit different. John MacArthur tells a story about a number of animals who get together deciding that they should do something meaningful to solve the problems of the world. So they said, we need a school. And they said, first we need a curriculum. We'll put on our curriculum running and climbing and swimming and flying. And so to make it easier to make that curriculum work, we'll make everybody take all the courses so that there's equality there. So all the animals took all the subjects. The duck was excellent in swimming. In fact, better than his instructor. But he made only passing grades in flying. And was very poor in running. Since he was slow in running, he had to drop swimming and stay after school to practice his running. This caused his webbed feet to be badly worn so that he was only average in swimming. But average was quite acceptable, so nobody worried about that except the duck. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but developed a nervous twitch in his leg muscles because of so much makeup work and swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but he encountered constant frustration in flying class. The reason was that his teacher made him start from the ground up instead of from the treetop down. He developed Charlie horses from overexertion and only got a C in climbing and a D in running. The eagle was a problem child and was severely disciplined for being nonconformist. In climbing class, he beat all the others to the top of the tree, but insisted on using his own way to get there. It's okay to do things differently. The Lord has given you strengths, different abilities. He's made you notice different things that need doing. And if you're anything like me, you get frustrated when you see something that needs doing and you say, why doesn't anybody else see this? Maybe I'm the only one who sees it. Maybe others do need to see it. And sometimes we need to ask others also to do things, which is a good thing. You ought to be asked. You ought to be willing to be asked. And sometimes that's the way in which your gifts are developed too. Somebody says, I think you might be good at this. And you might say, I don't think I'm very good at it at all. But maybe it'd be worth giving it a try. If the Lord has gifted you, maybe you should say, with the Lord's help, I want to try. I don't want to be high and puffed up and lifted up. So we all have one body, many members, many different gifts, many different abilities. And the hand doesn't say to the foot, what need have I of you? So in verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. If you have a gift for teaching, and some people view this passage as being centered mostly upon the offices of the church of pastor and elder and deacon. Those are certainly in view here. In fact, the word for ministry is the word diaconia, where we get our word for deacon from. The word means service. It means ministry. But there's a wideness to this list as well. And even in the context that Paul is speaking of here, he says all of us have different gifts. We're many members. We're one body. And so there are gifts. The gifts of pastor and elder and deacon are especially in view in the passage in Ephesians 4, where it says that Christ ascended up on high. He led captivity captive that he might give gifts unto men. And there it's specified, he gave some evangelists, some apostles, some pastors and teachers, and so on, for the edifying of the saints, for the building up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's more narrow in view. Here we have a broader view. And if you may have a gift of teaching, that may not necessarily include be that gift which would make you a pastor, but you might have the ability to explain some passage of Scripture, to open it up in a way that is going to comfort and instruct someone else. Maybe it's not a gift that you have all the time or that you exercise all the time. But you're able to see things in Scripture clearly that you can help someone else as they grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a gift of prophesying according to the proportion of faith. See, there are different levels, so to speak, different abilities and different degrees of ability. God gifts each one differently. And we ought to recognize that. We ought not to expect from someone more than he can give, but we ought to expect always service to the Lord Jesus. Whether prophecy, proclaiming the Word of God as it is revealed in the Scriptures, it's opening up the Scriptures. We often think of the word prophecy as telling the future and what's going to happen in the days to come. That'd be an exciting gift to have, I think. But you know, beloved, even in the Bible, when you read about people who have this gift, we think of the Old Testament prophets. They didn't so often tell what was going to happen in the future, as they did remind the Lord's people of what God had already done. They reminded them about the character of God, the will of God. They reminded them about their sin and called them to repentance, to gather under the Lord, to return to the Lord, and being grieved at the sins of the Lord's people. That was more often their work than predicting the future and the things that were to come. So there's prophesying, proclaiming the word of God, or ministry, service. Let us wait on our ministering. Let us do it with diligence. The Lord has called you to minister. Do it zealously. Do it with all of your being, with everything that you have. For he that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth. Now the word there is for comforting, using the scriptures to comfort someone. And I think we all can do that to some degree, but some people are just gifted that way. They have a special ability to use the scriptures to bring comfort to others. Not just centered in the officers of the church. These are things that you may be able to do. And if the Lord calls you to do them, ask Him for strength to do so. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Never seems as though that was a problem in Corinth, but we don't see hear of anybody boasting that they have the gift of giving. And that's kind of the nature of the gift itself. Because the person who gives, especially in financial things, usually wants to lay low and just be able to give. They just have an ability to make money, and they have resources with which to give. And the world calls them philanthropists. And the church is often benefited by philanthropists. And there have been those who endow the church. We think of Lady Huntington, who built chapels for George Whitefield to preach in, and was very instrumental in a lot of the revival work and funding some of the things that had to be done. And we think of the great work that God has done with those who are able to give. If you give, do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Be very careful and watchful as you're called to a position with some responsibility. And then there's a gift of showing mercy. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And with gladness of heart, serving the Lord in whatever way. A gift of mercy, a gift of giving. And all of these with faith. All has to be done for the Lord Jesus Christ. It all has to be done in that spirit of giving, where I want Christ to be exalted. I want my brothers and sisters in the Lord to do better than I am doing. I want them to prosper in their soul better than I prosper in my soul. I want them to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus. I want them to be spiritually rich and walking faithfully with the Lord. And the Lord will bless. The Lord will provide those gifts that are needful. We do all of these things because we believe that the essence of the gospel has to do with a salvation that is without works. It is God's gift. Your very salvation, your very position in Christ, is based on God's gracious gift. But He gives other gifts as a result of that, where you serve others. And you serve without any thought of return, without any thought of reward, just committing all of that to the Lord. Sometimes you wonder, as you exercise your gifts, is anyone getting anything out of it? Am I being profitable? Is there anything that's coming out of this? Then you have to stop and say, am I doing it for that reason, or am I doing it just for the purpose of honoring the Lord, for the purpose of serving my gracious Master? Am I doing this because God has loved me with an everlasting love, and I'm letting that love flow out from me? I'm exercising that same grace and that same love within the church and amongst the saints. These are all things that we can do, looking for opportunities to serve, looking to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the whole idea of faith in Corinthians is given a special status. There's a spiritual gift called faith. All the Lord's people have faith, or they wouldn't be believers. But some people have a special gift of faith. And we think of men like George Mueller. He's an incredible man who had a burden not only to preach God's word, but to provide orphanages in London. But he's young. These children need a place to stay. They're starving. They're uneducated. And so he started to build orphanages. That man didn't have a penny to his name. And he resolved in his heart, as he set about to begin these orphanages for the Lord, said, I'm never going to ask for a penny. I'm never going to ask any money from anyone. And he did do that. He never asked. And the Lord always provided abundantly. And he had not just one or two. He had many orphanages all through the city of London. And the Lord blessed them and gave those children a place to stay and access to the gospel. They were able to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And George Mueller was a mighty instrument in God's hand. Think of Hudson Taylor, who decided to leave family and friends and go and work as a missionary to preach the gospel to the Chinese. And he didn't know where he was going. It was a faith mission. The Lord will provide. The Lord will supply. He had a special gift of faith. And the Lord honored that. And the Lord blessed him with that faith and used it in a mighty way to build up his church and his kingdom. Beloved, there are many things that need doing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They must be done spiritually. We have a church cleaning list. Everybody's name is on that list. Every family is on that list. It can become, oh boy, here it is, February, whatever, I've got to clean the church. I've got so many things to do. I'm so busy. I've got this, I've got that. Really? You do it for the Lord. You just say, there's going to be nobody here to watch me work. Can you come here and just clean this place because you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you want to have this a good testimony. There's not just because it needs to be done. It does need to be done. That's why we have the list. But is it because I can serve the Lord and I can serve the Lord's people? There's just one example. What can you do? What can you do to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I'm going to use an example here. And that example is our pianist. You know, she just loves to play the piano. She's so good at it. She's here every single service. She's always playing. There's no relief anymore. No one else to help her out. She doesn't complain. She just plays. It's sweet. We need another piano player. We need to give her a little bit of a break once in a while. I think she'd appreciate it. It's good to sing in the congregation as well as play. We should pray. It's a good thing to pray for. Pray for a piano player. Maybe there's someone here. Maybe there's some of our young people who'd like to learn to play the piano. You won't be able to start playing hymns next week, but maybe down the road is another way to serve the Lord. There are many ways. Be creative. The Lord our God is a creator. He gave his people creative hearts. And beloved, we need to serve the Lord in a way to promote the gospel and the growth of his church. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee that thou art the giver of great and lovely gifts for thy church. We thank thee that thy church is a body. Wilt thou make us to grow? Wilt thou make us not only diligent but joyful to use the gifts that thou hast given unto us, that this body may prosper, that we may convey spiritual goodness to one another, as thou dost impart blessing unto us. We pray for the ability to do the things that are needful. We pray for the desire of heart to serve. And we thank thee for those who do serve. We thank thee especially, Lord, for those who serve thee in ways that we are not aware. We thank thee that this church is established upon thy word, that she has been purchased with thine own blood, and that she survives by the ministry of the saints one to another. We pray that we may not only just survive, but that we may prosper and grow and be rich in thy grace. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My times are in thy hand. Hymn number 577.